Hey guys, welcome back to episode 6 of the Broski Podcast, the only podcast where both hosts are secretly furries and the only people that don't know it are each other.
Huh?
What?
Wait, what? Wait, you too?
What? Bro?
I mean, I'm just saying, Rue's the bat. Titties is...
You got a good point.
Titties is... You know what I'm saying?
God. Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm Matthew Lime Jinjo, and as always, with me is my fellow host, Dylan Crowfibian, but everyone calls him Dylan, no one calls him Crowfibian.
What's a Crowfibian? I've never heard of that, ever.
Well, it's a reference to my favorite anime, Sergeant Frog, Kuroro Gun Sao, but also Amphibian, so like, because frogs, yeah.
Thank you for explaining my username. Thank
yeah,
you.
No problem, bro. You want me to explain my username?
Yeah, explain your username real quick.
Okay. So you know Jinjos from Banjo and Kazooie?
Yeah, what about them?
I like the green ones the most.
Okay.
But they're not really green, they're more of a lime color.
Yeah, you tried to take green Jinjo, right?
I think I did, but like I like the name Lime Jinjo better anyway.
Well, it started on Minecraft, right? You were trying to take a Minecraft name?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure... I think it was Twitter.
Yeah.
It was Twitter first.
But you
tried
to take the username Jinjo on Minecraft, and someone had it, and they don't use the account, right?
Yeah. So,
well,
man.
It's been a while, bro.
It's been a while.
It's been like three months.
Three months since the last episode.
Very beginning of July, and yeah. We didn't do an episode in June. So, if we kept up the month for you, this would be episode 9, but who cares? It's alright.
A lot has happened in between the last episode and this episode. I played some games, as the people in the Mysterious Discord server so badly want to hear about. I got a girlfriend, I played more games, I read a manga.
Uh-huh.
I don't do that usually, but I read a manga, and I watched some anime.
We also played a bunch of games for the Brokies, kind of.
Yeah, that's true. The other day we recorded for 3 hours for our upcoming Halloween special that, depending on Dylan's order of editing, may or may not be out when you're watching this. Probably not. He's probably going to edit this first.
No, the podcast's going to come out first. Halloween special will come out on Halloween.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But like, look forward to the Halloween special. It's going to be fire.
We have a small backlog, but Halloween.
It's coming up. Are you dressing up at all for Halloween? Do you have like a costume in storage
that you can wear? No, I'm not going anywhere. But like,
I figure you're not going anywhere, but like...
If Halloween was a thing, I would just go into my funds and buy a Styleful cosplay right now.
I think for this Halloween, we're just going to get on in like our personal server and... probably do some webcam and watch a scary movie or something. I think that's what a lot of us wanted to do. I probably have something I could wear. I could probably just put on my blue morph suit again, like I wear almost every year.
But yeah, like the face. I don't really know. I have a pink shirt and a pink hat. I can be Timmy Turner again.
Uh-huh. Timmy Turner?
Timmy,
force
Butch
yourself
Hartman?
To have like a
Man,
horrible overbite all day, except you wouldn't look like Timmy Turner. You look more like Weldon the Great.
I love Weldon the Great.
These nuts?
What if, like, you're handing out candy and a kid came up to your door with an overbite like that and they're like,
no.
Check it, see? And you go, what's up, bro?
Oh my god.
What are you supposed to be? And they go, something came in the mail you today.
No, dude. Okay,
that'd
but imagine
be awesome.
If, like, imagine if, like, a small little black child came up to your door, and he was like, trick-or-treat, and he was just waving his arms back and forth, but he's just wearing regular clothes. So you're like, where are you? And he goes,
Nah, not.
Dude, what the fuck? Dude, that kid would get the entire candy bowl if he came to my house. I don't give a fuck. Every kid after him would have nothing, jack shit. He'd get the entire candy bowl.
You know, this Halloween is the first time since, like, the 40s. It's a full moon in all time zones.
Really? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's even more reason to stay inside. You're gonna die, for two reasons.
Tsukihime.
Yo, Tsukihime reference. That's one of the games we're playing. Tsukihime and Danganronpa.
very slowly we're recording these Tsukihime sessions. There's actually some, this might be the only podcast we'll ever record where we have Tsukihime news.
Oh, yeah,
I guess that will be the first thing we cover is,
The Melty Blood got trademarked.
Yeah, Type Moon, the owners of, Tsukihime and Melty Blood and also Fate, but no one cares about that franchise. They trademarked Melty Blood not only in Japan, but they renewed the trademark in America and Canada and China. Bro, I swear to God.
Yeah.
If 2021 starts and we not only get Guilty Gear Strive, which they announced is coming out in like April, I think, but we also get a new Melty Blood game in 2021, dude, I'll be coming all year. Just straight nonstop.
Straight buckets.
Buckets of cum, dude, all year.
I finished a manga last night and one of the lines in it, he's like talking about buckets or something, and he goes, literally, I'm gonna shoot buckets of cum.
Buckets of cum. Yeah, me and Dylan both read a manga. The one manga I read is Masturbation Master Kurosawa. It's 4 volumes, 31 chapters, and I forced Dylan to read it because I personally really, really liked it.
Yeah, it was good.
I gave it a 10 on my anime list. I checked your my anime list, and you gave it an 8, which is still a very good score.
Whoa, it's me from the future. Ooh. If you want to check out our anime listed, I'll put them in the description. Matthew/Jinjo, that's what y'all call him, whatever. He really likes it, so he updates it all the time, so yeah. We like anime. We're weeaboos. We will never, never see titties.
Bruh.
Yeah, it was really good.
I really, really liked that manga. Would you give me some of your in-depth thoughts on Masturbation Kurosawa?
I wasn't super glued to it because I was kind of like, yeah, this is weird, but it's interesting. I do like the ending. I saw a couple people mad about the ending. Like,
why?
I guess we shouldn't discuss. Should we discuss the ending? I don't know.
Okay. How about this? Since I timestamp all of the episodes of the Boski podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How about this? I strongly recommend if you are okay with reading a manga that the crux of the story is that the main character is a sex pervert that likes to masturbate in the girl's bathroom, then you should read Masturbation Master Kurosawa. It's genuinely really, really good. It's not played up for laughs or anything. It's a serious story, and which sounds ridiculous, but it is really, really fucking good. Especially, like, at the halfway point. Like, it's good at the beginning, but at the halfway point, it gets really fucking good. I strongly recommend that if you're okay with reading something like that, then you should go read something like that. And you should go into the description of this video and skip to the timestamp where we talk about the next topic. Because we're going to get into spoiler territory for people that have read it or don't care about reading it. So, yeah. Skip now.
Yeah, it's okay. Pretty short. It's like, what, 31 chapters?
Yeah.
I like the ending, how he just freaking confesses everything and everyone trashing on him.
Yeah, it was a complete power move.
I saw some people upset that he gets together with the one chick. What's her name? Sugawa. Sugawa?
Yeah.
I was fine with her. I thought it was fine.
I thought it was a good match. I mean, she wasn't super important pre-time skip, but I mean, she doesn't have to be.
Yeah, she was just minor character. Like, you don't have to, like, oh, he didn't get with the main girl. He didn't get with the one girl he liked. Ooh, that's how I life worked,
like
bro.
I didn't like the main girl even, so, like, no. Fuck no.
Like, bro, that's not how life works. Life doesn't all work like that, bro.
It makes sense. It makes sense that he'd end up getting together with someone that he barely knew in middle school. That makes sense to me.
Because, like, they even show a little bit of development between them. I don't know, I just appreciate it, because I'm kind of annoyed sometimes in anime, where it's just so perfect, like, oh, dude meet girl. They get together after, like, freaking 50 episodes.
It feels
real. Don't get
real,
me started on harems. I hate harems so much. They're annoying.
Yeah.
Okay, the thing with harems is that I'm fine with them when it's two girls, okay? Okay, there's the childhood friend and the new girl, and he always ends up with the new girl or something. But then they add on more and more characters, and when you think they're done, they add more characters. It just makes me so mad. I cannot stand harem in manga or anime.
Yeah, harem is kind of fucking annoying. I don't understand the appeal of it. But in Masturbation Master Kurosawa feels real with its depiction of love and who Kurosawa got with at the end of it. Because, like, it wasn't really shoehorned. It wasn't shoehorned, and it was, like, it felt natural to me, you know?
I also really like the art style, how it's, like, it doesn't look completely finished to add to the whole vibe of the manga.
I think the art style looks really good, and I really like Kurosawa's development throughout the whole story. He becomes visibly a better person, mm-hmm. Even pre-time skip.
I didn't really like him. Becomes
a better person. Yeah, well, in the first volume, he's horrible. He's just a fucking asshole in the first volume. And he hates everyone, but not even just that. He's like, irredeemably a sex weirdo in the first volume. But as it goes on, first of all, he begins to, near the end of the story, he learns to appreciate the guy with the afro. And they really become friends. And Kurosawa realizes, like,
He's a good guy.
Yeah. He fucked up and he realizes his mistakes and he confesses. And like post-time skip, it's clear that he's a pretty good person. But like, even still, it still feels real because like he still clearly hasn't fixed all of his problems because there's the one scene when he's on the train, he just thinks to himself, whatever, I wonder who I'm gonna jack off to today. So clearly he still jacks off daily. And he's still kind of a sex weirdo.
I like the development with the afro best friend dude a lot.
Yeah.
Like, he's always trying to reach out to him, and even after he confesses, he's like, hey, buddy. And then Kurosawa. Yeah, he realizes, he's a homie. Why haven't been doing this? He's such a good guy. And he, like, says, thank you, man. That's good. I really like
but
that.
But even then, it still feels real with his friend, because, like, his friend didn't immediately forgive
him. Yeah, he had a little
him.
Hesitation, but...
There's a couple chapters where, like, they are not speaking to each other, period. But yeah, I thought that was a really fucking good manga. I added it to my manga favorites. I think the next manga I'm gonna read is, I think I've decided I'm gonna read all of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Really?
Yeah, all of Yu-Gi-Oh! The original series, and then Yu-Gi-Oh! Duelist, which is what Duel Monsters became, and then... Millennium World. I'm just gonna read all of it.
Well, I'm glad you're reading manga, because you haven't really done that very much at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you've read a couple chapters of other manga, but you never really finish any.
Yeah, well, here's the thing with manga. I prefer to watch anime, because it's easier for me, and I just find it more fun. But for, like, series that don't have an anime, or the manga is better, so, like, Masturbation Master Kurosawa does not have an anime. I think anime adaptation for that series would be lit if done correctly, but it doesn't have an anime, so I had to read the manga, but obviously it was fucking great anyway.
I'd be worried for the art style, because I really think the art style added a lot to it.
Yeah, the thing with a lot of manga that don't have an anime adaptation is that one of the biggest reasons they don't have an anime adaptation is because their art style would be hard to adapt.
I also know people talk about Berserk a lot, about how it's, like, very complex and, like, anime can't really do it justice. Like, later
yes.
Berserk.
I think the OLM 1997 Berserk anime was really good, but even still, there was a clear lack of detail compared to the manga version of Berserk. So, for, like, manga like Berserk, and I mean, it would be an issue with Kurosawa, but I think Kurosawa, for the main reason it doesn't have an anime adaptation, is because it's more of an underground manga. It came out in like 2008, and it was a web manga, I believe, until its 10th anniversary in 2018 when they put it on Amazon Kindle in Japan. But I think its main issue is that it's not popular enough to have an anime adaptation. But then, like, for another very popular manga like Vagabond, 100% its issue with the reason it doesn't have an anime adaptation is because of it's too beautiful. It would be impossible to animate properly without a huge budget. Like, it would just disappoint all of the fans and even the creator if they tried to make an anime adaptation of Vagabond.
And then there's something like Tokyo Ghoul where the adaptation is just bad.
Where they try. Oh, they try, but it sucks fucking dick.
If I'm ever gonna go through Tokyo Ghoul, I'm gonna read the manga.
Yeah, but like another thing with manga that can happen is it does have an anime adaptation, but the anime adaptation is just dog shit compared to the manga. So I think Yu-Gi-Oh! Is considered just okay. Usually I grew up with it, so I think I'll probably enjoy it. But Yu-Gi-Oh! Is considered, like, okay. But the anime is shit compared to the manga. The manga is a lot edgier and more thought out compared to the anime. Even, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! The beginning of Yu-Gi-Oh! The first 7 volumes, which was adapted into Season 0, the manga's better than Yu-Gi-Oh! Season 0. It lacks the banger opening, obviously, but a lot of people still like the manga better, and I liked the manga better. From what I've seen of Yu-Gi-Oh! Season 0, I've watched like the first 10 episodes or so, but I read all of the manga when I was a kid, and I liked the manga better. So I think I'm gonna read Yu-Gi-Oh! And I think I'll have fun with it. It's a lot edgier. The manga is like way edgier. They change a lot of shit in the anime and such and such, so yeah.
Bro. You know what I can't stand?
What can't you stand, bro?
So, like, in Masturbation Master, Kurosawa, whatever his name is.
Kurosawa?
Yeah, they show his relationship developing. But then, in the Asterios podcast universe, the Brookie side universe, off screen, they just show Lime Jinjo getting a girl. I heard you got a girlfriend, bro.
Yeah, I got a girlfriend.
That's awesome, bro. That's awesome. Anyway, so you want to talk about Kirby games? We've been playing a lot of Kirby.
Yeah, me and Dylan have started up. We've done this once before in our lives, but we didn't finish it. We've started up our Kirby quest, where we're going through all the mainline Kirby games in order. And right now, we've done Kirby's Dream Land, Kirby's Adventure, Kirby's Dream Land 2, and now we're doing Kirby's Dream Land 3. We're skipping Superstar because we're gonna do Superstar Ultra, but yeah,
Kirby's this is pretty fun. I freaking love Kirby.
Yeah,
I grew up playing a lot of Kirby.
Same. I love Kirby a lot. A lot of my favorite Kirby games we're still a little ways away from, but I'm enjoying the ones we've been playing so far. What's your favorite one we've played so far?
So far, it's Dream Land 3.
I've been enjoying Dream Land 3 a lot because we're playing it together with the Nintendo Switch Online.
My favorites overall would probably 64 and Superstar Ultra.
My favorites when I was a kid were always Amazing Mirror and Squeak Squad, but I did enjoy Superstar Ultra a lot when we 100%ed it together years ago.
Yeah, I haven't played either of those, but like, people always say Kirby games are easy. Yes, but if you try to 100% them, oh my god. Superstar Ultra, 100%, it's balls to walls.
Like, I know a lot of modern-day Kirby fans say Star Allies is hard to 100%. Star Allies is a piece of cake compared to Superstar Ultra.
Compared to Superstar Ultra, holy frick.
Superstar Ultra is legitimately pretty difficult to 100%. Like, legitimately pretty, even by, like, regular, not Kirby game standards, it's pretty hard to 100% Superstar Ultra. There are some challenges at the end of that game that are just fucking insane.
Yeah, it's not horrible until, like, the last touch of the true arena. You have to go through the big arena. I think you just have one health bar, and you have to fight, like, every boss in the game,
you get a couple healing items. You get a couple healing items, but still.
It's really hard.
You have to like put faith in yourself and place bets in yourself, because it's like you can take the M tomato or drink the potion before you go into the next boss, but every boss you go further without using a healing item, you have that healing item for the next thing. So like, let's say you have 2 HP left and you're about to fight this boss. Well, do you think you can beat this boss with only 2 HP, or are you gonna use a potion? You know? You really have to, it's really like just having faith in yourself and shit. So that challenge is hard as fuck, but we're not even at that game yet.
You also have to achieve, like, your copy builds and crap. It's complex.
Oh, yeah, you have to make the right choice with a partner in the true arena.
Some copy ability to just straight garbage against some bosses. Like, it could be really good normally, and then you fight one boss, and you're just fricked. Absolutely fricked.
I still remember the copy ability we used to beat Trulia.
Wasn't it Yo-Yo?
It was Yo-Yo.
Yeah, Yo-Yo's good in Super Shell Trek. It sucks in, like, the Dreamland games, though.
Yeah, what game... one of the games we played had Yo-Yo, I believe, and it's
it was either Dreamland 2 or Nightmare in Dreamland.
No, wait, I'm not thinking of a game we played. I'm thinking of the newest Kirby game that I played alone, Kirby Fighters 2. You can play as the Yo-Yo Kirby, and it sucks. Like, he's not very good, in my opinion.
How is Kirby Fighters 2? I haven't played it.
It's pretty fun. I haven't played it in a bit because I've been playing some other games on my Switch, but Kirby Fighters 2 is pretty good.
Other games on your Switch? Let me guess, you're playing Super Mario, you freaking kiss-lick baby. You will never see a pussy.
Correct. And correct.
Okay, well, I would kind of expect you to fight me back on it, but I see you have some character development. You're not very resistant anymore.
I've just given up hope on everything.
Me too, kid.
I don't really feel anything anymore.
I feel you there. Like, what the point? Like, we all live and we all die.
I don't think. I don't know. I just don't think anything I do is worth it anymore. I don't know. I just don't feel anything anymore.
Well, actually, on the bright side, this podcast does have meaning, because this is gonna exist forever. So in like 200 years, we're all dead. Everyone on Earth right now, all dead. But this podcast remains. It could be year 329, and some 7-year-old is like, wow, I love the Burkies! I'm 7 years old!
Aliens that invade the planet Earth, years, hundreds of years from now, looking at alien YouTube and be like, and they type in Dabrowskis in English language somehow. They've learned enough English to type in Dabrowskis.
That's
and
awesome.
they start listening to our podcast and like, so for you aliens, hundreds of years in the future, we're gonna talk about the Super Mario 3D All-Stars collection now. Let's go through the three games in order, Dylan, because both of us have now finished every game in the collection. I've 100% every game in the collection, and you 100% the first two, but didn't do Super Luigi Galaxy because you're smart.
Super Luigi Galaxy. Anyway, Mario 64. I played this game first because I don't like it that much, and if I played Sunshine and Galaxy first, I'm going to be more frustrated at 64.
Yeah, I played Super Mario 60. I played through the games in release order because I wanted to play Super Mario 64 first because I knew it would be the hardest to go back to because I know a lot of people argue the controls in that game are tighter than my asshole. I think the controls in that game are pretty fucking bad.
They're pretty bad. The camera's bad. But Mario 64 has not aged well. Is it good? It was a fine game. I enjoyed my time with
fun. I had fun.
But the controls, the cameras suck. They're just bad.
I used to hate Super Mario 64, but after forcing myself to 100% it, I thought it was quite fun. I had a lot of fun.
Quite splendid. Indeed.
Deliciously. I had a lot of fun playing Super Mario 64 and getting all 120 stars. There were some challenges, but like I didn't like nothing that super frustrated me happened, which is odd. To be honest, I was expecting to get a lot more frustrated at it, but like
I mean, the most difficulties I've had with the wing cap, because I don't think the wing cap is just annoying. The level they introduced, you have to do like a perfect run.
Yeah,
and it's
God,
you're trying to teach me how to use the wing cap with this awful level.
The red coins in the first wing cap level, bruh.
Yeah.
I hope Miyamoto never gets a girlfriend.
Does he have a wife?
He probably has a wife and kids, but
let me look this up.
I hope he never gets a girlfriend that one.
Hold up.
On God.
Barkeep, Miyamoto. Wait, what's his name? Shigeru Miyamoto. Wife. He's 67 years old. He has a wife and two children.
I hope he never gets a girlfriend though.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, Super Mario 64. It's fun. It's good. It's aged like shit.
His wife is named Yachiko.
And
In 2010, his son was 25, while his daughter was 23.
So his kid's old.
Yeah, those folks are old now.
Dumbass kids. Fuck them kids. Super Mario Sunshine.
Oh, that's the best one in the collection.
Honestly?
Hot take alert. Mario Sunshine is the best 3D Mario game. Hot take alert.
Honestly? No cap? Sunshine is tied with Galaxy for me, but it's pretty close, and I think I lean towards Sunshine. I think my nostalgia for Galaxy is the only thing that stops me from saying Sunshine is the best game in the collection. Sunshine, I played Sunshine in, like, April, but then I played it again because it was in the collection, so it was super easy for me because all of my epic techniques and stuff were fresh in my mind, but this game, it does go hard. There's a couple shines that suck, and the Pianta Hotel, or whatever it's called,
it's that
entire
level.
World sucks. Well, there's a couple of shines in it that aren't bad, but most of that level sucks. But everything else in that game, super hot fire. That's the only world in the game that I'd say sucks, and there are a couple worlds in Super Mario 64 I'd say suck.
Yeah, so. I can't remember the 64 level, but I really like the whole atmosphere of Sunshine. Yeah, you're on this one island, you can see the levels from the other levels. I love that. Like, if you go in the first level, you can see the shore right under. You can see the park all the way up in the distance. It's great. I love that.
Yeah, it's a really nice touch, to be honest.
I mean, of course, like, the big problems with Sunshine, the blue coins are annoying.
Had a blue coin radar of some kind, the blue coins would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with having a shit ton of collectibles in your game, is that if you have a lot of collectibles in a big expansive level, you need a radar or a detector thing. So like, Spider-Man for the PS4, they tell you where all the backpacks are, and the only thing you have to do is travel to them. And I know that might ruin it for some people, but I think collecting all the backpacks in Spider-Man is still a lot of fun.
I think, I know you haven't played Genshin Impact, but what they do, there's a collectible you have to get, and it shows on the map only when you're very close by to it. I think Mario Sunshine should do something like that. They alert you when you're close to it. Not wherever you are in the map, just when you're close to it.
Like a hot and cold meter. I think that would be better, a lot better. So the blue coins are a little annoying. The physics engine is unfinished, pretty much. You glitch through platforms a lot in the...
I didn't have a lot of problems with the...
In the park level, the ships in the park level?
Oh, yeah, never mind. Bruh. The ships are awful. I fell through it like three times.
I fell through it like 15 times, dude. It's so easy to glitch through the ships in the park level, and in some of the no flood challenges, some of the platforms in there, you'll just fall through them for some reason. I don't know why. It's no cap.
I really like flood, though.
I do like Flood. As a kid, I didn't like Flood, but...
Yeah, you
now,
said that you liked the Floodlet level better. And then,
when I was a kid.
So you played it again, you're like, oh wow, I was so wrong.
Now, when I moved on to Galaxy, I was like, I miss my homie, man.
Yeah.
I feel incomplete without Flood now. Where's my epic hover ability?
I don't really mind it, because I always 100% lead games. But I do think it's a little dumb that you have to go to level 7 of every level to beat the game.
Yeah.
So it's not...
That does suck.
It's a sandbox game, but it is a little linear where you have to do level 7 of every level.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I probably like Sunshine more than Galaxy. Sunshine's is sandbox. Galaxy is quite clear. I do like Galaxy a lot. Galaxy is a great game. I just... I don't know.
Galaxy is
I'm a little
really
turned
game,
off by,
but...
like, it's just point A to point B.
Yeah, and, okay, we'll move on to Galaxy now. So, my main problem with Galaxy that holds me back from saying it's better than Sunshine, Mario 64 and Mario Sunshine are not super easy games. They both have a lot of challenges in them.
Yeah, Galaxy's pretty easy.
Galaxy's piss easy, dude. Galaxy's so fucking easy. There's maybe like one or two stars in Galaxy that I had even slight trouble with. Galaxy's so fucking easy, dude. It's ridiculous how easy that game is.
The only levels I really remember having trouble on are the two purple coin levels where you have to collect. Like, you're on an 8-bit Luigi, and you have to get 100 purple coins. I'm like, oh my god, this is awful. How do you do this?
Yeah.
Well, there's actually 150 purple coins, so.
Yeah, well, once I realized that, when I did my playthrough of that level as Luigi,
it was super easy.
I did it my first try. Yeah. That level is very fucking easy once you realize that you don't have to collect every single coin. The only other star in the game, so that star doesn't even really count because I was just being dumb. That was the only reason it was hard. The only other star I can really remember having any trouble with in the game is purple coins on the Dreadnought level, where it's a moving platform and you have to collect the purple coins while you're on the moving platform. So if you miss one, you're fucked and you just have to jump off the platform. But even still, that only took like a couple tries and I never got frustrated or anything. Galaxy's just way, way too easy. That's its main issue for me.
I'm very interested in Galaxy 2 because I hear people either like it better or they don't like it better. It's like a 50-50 thing.
I wonder if it's any harder. If it's harder, then I'd probably like it better. I know the final level in Galaxy 2, the Perfect Run, is one of the hardest levels in Mario history, but like it would be really epic if there were levels other than the Perfect Run that are also pretty hard in Galaxy 2, because I like challenges in my games, and Galaxy simply does not offer like any challenge at all. But yeah. Super Mario 3D All-Stars, pretty good collection. It distracted me for almost a month. I think I'd rate the game Sunshine Galaxy 64.
Me too.
Yeah.
And then Odyssey, I don't know where I'd put Odyssey. I'd have to play it again.
Odyssey right now, and Odyssey for me is very good, but it also kind of suffers from the same issue of Galaxy, where it's a lot easier than the other games. There's not a lot of moons that are hard.
I think Odyssey would probably have its ratings off the exploration, because I feel like that's what they do best in Odyssey.
Yeah.
You have freedom. You have a lot of freedom.
Yeah, but here's the thing with Odyssey. They put as many moons in the game as they wanted to, yeah. So there's like an odd number of moons in the game. But another thing about that is that the moons are so abundant in Odyssey that
it's not super rewarding.
I don't feel as rewarded when I find a moon in Odyssey. Like, it's not like when you get a star in any of the three games in the All-Stars collection, especially 64 and Sunshine, you're like, a star, oh my god. But when you get a moon in Odyssey, you're like, oh boy, my 800th moon, I really earned this one.
Yeah, they really just become a collectible in Odyssey.
Yeah, I feel nothing, pretty much, when I get a moon in Odyssey. I think I feel more of something when I find a purple coin in Odyssey than when I find a moon.
I forgot about the purple coins in there.
There are legitimately more moons in the game than purple coins, I believe.
I think there's like 800 moons, and then you're supposed to buy the rest of them.
Yeah, you're supposed to buy to like 999. There's like 870-something moons, I believe. But Odyssey does have one of the most difficult challenges out of any Mario game ever.
What's that?
The 100 jump rope challenge. Fuck that. I've never done that
moon. I cheated.
It's the only moon in that game I've never done. I even beat Darker Side, but I've never done the 100 jump rope challenge.
I remember I looked up cheat methods and like, oh, the first one had passed, but oh, there's a new one. I got out of it immediately. And I think that one had passed too.
Yeah.
I have no shame in cheating it, because I know back then you didn't want to cheat it, but then you cheated Pachinko level and Sunshine, so.
Oh, yeah, well, that level's impossible if you don't cheese it. No cap. I cheesed it in both my playthroughs. That's on God.
I guess for anyone who doesn't know, when Delfino's flooded, just go in there with the hover noggle, and that's how you do it.
And it makes it slightly easier.
A lot easier.
It makes it a lot easier.
I remember when you were playing it a couple months ago. We have this recorded. I might go through and make some videos out of it. Delfino is flooded and you haven't done it yet. I'm like, hey bro, what if you just go into Pachinko level? Does it let you do it? You were so excited when you got in there with the hover nodule.
Yeah. It's pretty fucking base that you can do that. I've noticed some other people on YouTube when they play the pachinko level, they have the hover nod, so I'm like,
I didn't know that was a thing people did. I just thought of it. I'm like, did this work? And it died. Thank God.
Yeah, pretty fucking based. Anyway, I think we only have like one thing left to talk about, Dylan. We've been going for 37 minutes or so.
Okay.
And there's only one thing left in the topics chat.
Yeah.
Fall Guys. Oh my God.
Fall Out Boy. I love Fall Out Boy.
Man, fuck you. Die. So we played Fall Guys season 1. We haven't played season 2 yet, but we probably will because it's a Sonic costume.
It came out today at the time of recording.
Yeah. So Fall Guys. Season 1 was pretty fun. I didn't finish the pass. I got to level 38 because it takes too much fame to level up at the end of the pass. And I'd gotten bored of the game. I think they need to update the game more frequently than they are. Because the seasons last long, but they need more mid-season updates.
Yeah.
They need to add games in the middle of the season.
The mid-season update they did wasn't all that interesting. They changed the map a little. They added a hammer. I'm not going to say the name of it. Don't say
no, we need to talk about their marketing team and shit. But
I'm very sorry, listeners. Hold on,
let's talk about the game first and then we'll talk about some of the other
shit. You're spared for now.
So Fall Guys is a very fun party game. Me and Dylan, we played with my brothers Andy and Danny, who have both been on the channel or on the live streams before, so you might know them, but we had a lot of fun, the four of us, playing Fall Guys. Me and Dylan even streamed Fall Guys once on the computer. We went on a quest to get the monkey outfit.
My most chaotic energy comes out in that game.
Yeah.
I become a fucking Joker. Oh, yeah, Joker.
Dylan's fucking evil in Fall
Guys. I do
Guys.
A really good He'll... Joker laugh. I can't imitate it. It's just, in the moment, I just become the Joker.
Dylan has a legitimate evil laugh. It's fucking terrifying, and I want to strangle him to death whenever he does it. Yeah, that's it. That's pretty much it. So yeah, Fall Guys, it's pretty fun. I think they should do more mid-season updates, but the costumes are really cute. It's a cute game. It's a fun game. Even when you lose in Fall Guys, I still have a lot of fun. Even though also I'm a god at Fall Guys, and I have like 20-something wins. So, I mean, I'm a god, but like even when I lose, it's pretty fun. Yeah, now we need to talk about the elephant in the room, Dylan.
Oh, no.
Their Redditor marketing team.
Is Mr. Beast too stonks?
The way that the Twitter guy talks on Twitter and the way that the team names the things in the game is frankly repulsive. It's fucking disgusting. It makes me want to vomit. It makes me want to vomit really fucking hard. What the fuck are they thinking? Okay, so first off, the Twitter, okay, they had this bid war thing where, if you bid to charity, the person that bids the most money to charity will get a skin in the game. When they were doing this, famous YouTuber, Mr. Beast, Mr. Beast.
Is Mr. Beast too stonks?
Yeah, Mr. Beast got the top fucking bid, and the guy on Twitter says, Is Mr. Beast too stonks? Fuck you!
Oh my god,
fuck you
awful.
So hard, dude. Fuck you. And that got fucking worse, because in the mid-season update, they made it so that there's a spinning hammer can randomly spawn in the minigames. They'll shoot you forward. And they name... What the fuck did they name the hammer again?
Big Yeetus.
Big Yeetus. Yeah, they named it Big Yeetus. Fuck you. Big fucking Yeetus. How about you, Big Yeetus, my fucking nutsack, you fucking piece of shit. And then, oh my god, oh my fucking god, in season 2, they add this giant spike roller thing that moves back and forth.
Wait,
and
this is the worst
one. This is the worst one for me. This is the worst one for me by far.
There's worse than... Nah, you're gonna lay this on the podcast?
Listen to this. They added, it's a roller, it's a spike roller that swings back and forth, okay?
Okay.
They named it Thick Bonkus. Thick with 2 C's. Thick Bonkus. I hate them.
I hate them
so fucking much. That's it for this episode of the Broski Podcast, right? You don't have anything left, right, Dylan? I destroyed you mentally.
Yeah, let's wrap up this episode. Thank you, listeners. Right. I love you.
That's it for this episode of the Broski Podcast. Broski Podcast, episode 6. I think this was a pretty good episode, Dylan. We did a good job.
Yeah, we had a good comeback.
I'm proud of us. Follow us on Twitter and stuff, you know, at Tubroskis. Just look in the description. You'll find all our shit. We have a website. We made a website since the last episode. Thebroskis.com. Tell all your friends. Thebroskis.com. Thanks for watching.
Do you ever get the feeling that your girlfriend might be using you for internet fame?
Say what now?
She just touched me. I don't know why she wanted to touch you, but she said, I don't want to contact Matthew. Tell him I found a Chad, and we're breaking up.
Oh my God!